Grab your Bibles, if you would, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, in your Bibles, please. And when you found it, if you're able to, if you would stand in honor of God's word, 1 Samuel chapter 2. We'll read this. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm going to begin in verse 1. I'm going to read a handful of verses here. Then we're going to skip a bunch and go to verse 30. And I'm going to ask you to read a verse 30 out loud with me. So 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. And God brings down the mighty and lifts up the lowly. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." That's prophetic right there. "And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister of the Lord before Eli the priest." Now jump to verse 30, if you would. Verse 30. I'm going to read the first half of this verse. And when I say ready, begin, join me. All right. "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith," ready, begin, "Be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Title of the message this morning is, does this honor God? Does what? Fill in the blank. Does this honor God? Let that sink in. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we need you this morning. I pray you'd help me. I don't want to say anything you don't want said. I don't want to go any direction you don't want me to go. We need you this morning. I need you this morning. And then we need to hear from you. That we need to respond to you. Or maybe somebody this morning doesn't know Christ as their Savior, and they need to be saved today. May today be the day of salvation for them. May the Christian walk closer to you. And may we all desire to honor you. There than said and done. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much for receiving. So a while ago, my wife noticed that I was grabbing tissue out of the tissue box once in a while. I'm not an emotional guy. My eyes water, that's all. Right? And then I would sniffle a lot. So she got me these little hankies. I never wanted to be a hanky preacher. These guys whipping their hanky, whatever. But anyways, and it was nice. I just forgot it today, so. Thanks, babe, for getting those for me. Just didn't get them. So you might see me grab a couple tissues. Our theme for the year of 2024 is honor God. It's a simple theme, but an impactful theme. If we take seriously our responsibility and our privilege to simply honor God, it will be impactful in every, and I emphasize the word every, area of our lives. Say amen if you want to honor God this morning. Then that would impact, or should impact, every area of your life. So that, in other words, you can honor God in that area of your life. Our lives would be different. Our lives would change. If I consider the question, does this bring honor to God? Then it will change the way that I talk. Because I want to honor God in how I talk. It will change the way that I walk, I live my life. Because I'll honor God in the way that I walk. It will change the way that I dress. It will change the way that I live. Because if I'm serious about wanting to honor, if I'm serious about wanting to bring honor to God, then I'll want to bring honor to God in the way I talk and walk and dress and the way that I live. And just, I could go down a long list of things right there. But do you want to bring honor to God in those areas? If a dad's desire, or if a dad would desire, I should say, to honor God, it would change how he parents. Right? If honoring God is a priority in marriage, then it will change how you are as a wife or as a husband. If you say you want to honor God, teenager, I want to honor God, then you'll act in a manner that brings honor to God at school rather than behaving in a way that brings honor to self or causes you to fit in with the cool crowd. Because you're more concerned about what honors God. Because honoring God is a priority for you, it supersedes all other selfish desires or ambitions. It directs you in the decisions that you are to make. It becomes a filter in your life. Every temptation must be filtered through the question, does this bring honor to God? When honoring God is a priority in your life, it changes everything about your life. Everything. You can have two Christians, both saved. One wants to honor God with his life. The other one kind of wants to honor God or really is more concerned about himself. They're both Christians. They're both saved. One desires to honor self and the other wants to honor God. But their lives are going to look totally different, aren't they? Are you with me this morning? No. They're both Christians. They both say, I love Jesus. Yeah, well, one acts like he loves Jesus, the other one doesn't. I can say I love my wife all I want, but love is an action. And to help us gain a deeper understanding of what honor means, let's take a look at a real life story of those who did and did not honor God. And as we do, contrast those. Notice the contrast between those who set out to honor God and those who set out to honor themselves. A little background information here in this passage of Scripture. This is the story of a very dark time in Israel's history. In fact, the last words from the book of Judges are these words. Judges 21, verse 25 says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That would be the essence, that would be the epitome of honoring yourself. Doing that which is right in your own eyes. And it was in this period, in this time that a childless wife named Hannah is introduced to us in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She is in earnest prayer to God and pleading with God in the tabernacle in Shiloh, and she is assured by the priest that her prayer for a child will be answered. Through the course of her prayer, she promises God something. She told him that if he will grant her a son, God, if you'll grant me a son, then I'll return the child to you. If he'll grant her a son, she will return the child to him for his service. And with this brief background, I want to consider some aspects of honoring God this morning. What are the differences? What are the differences between honoring God and honoring self? Number one, honoring God involves presenting our best to the Lord. So what do you mean? Look at 1 Samuel 1, verse 24. Look at verse 24. And when she had weaned him, this child she prayed for, Samuel, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. She's calling Eli Lord, L-O-R-D, as in the respectful way, lowercase L, but as, and I stood by thee here praying unto the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, God, Jehovah God. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. You were right, priest. God answered the prayer. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Honoring God involves presenting our best to the Lord. Hannah knew that what she had to offer was only that which God had already given. The Lord, the word lent here, she lent him to the Lord. It means to offer upon request. In other words, whatever I have, God, whatever is mine, whatever there is, it is available to you. My plans, my friends, my ambitions, my talents, anything that I have, I'm availing it to you. My best is yours. You gave it to me anyways. That's what the word lent means. It carries with it the idea to offer upon request, because it is only to me by, is only given to me by you to begin with. Anything that I have, anything that I am, I give it to you, God. You've given me so much. This was Hannah's heart, but there's a reason it's preserved for us today. That ought to be our heart as well. I give you my life. I give you my best. Everything that I have, I'm offering it to you. Honoring God means presenting our best to the Lord. So Hannah offers to God her son if he would grant her petition. God did so, so did she. Samuel was raised by the priest Eli from that point forward. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that we have that famous story of God coming to Samuel while he's young and says, Samuel, and he thought it was Eli calling him, and Eli's like, I didn't call you, go back to bed. And he hears God again, Samuel, and Samuel runs back to Eli, what are you calling me for? And Eli says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. And Samuel says, or God calls Samuel again, Eli, and when Samuel comes running to Eli, Eli goes, you know, it wasn't me, it must be God. So this time when God speaks to you, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And he goes back. And God calls to Samuel again, and Samuel says, speak, Lord, for thy servant. And what a great story that is. And so Samuel's serving God and serving the priest there and serving at where the priest is at, being raised by him from that point forward after Hannah followed through with her promise that she would give him back to the Lord for his service. And yet God calls to Samuel while he's young. He literally spoke to him. He actually gave a young person a prophecy of things to come. And now the priest Eli, though, has a few issues. One major issue involved his sons. They were wicked and evil. They did not honor God. And Eli did not honor God by involving himself with what they did and by not dealing with his sons. If it is truly your desire to honor God, mom, dad, if you want to honor God, I mean, we all said amen, I want to honor God. If you want to honor God, it's going to change how you parent. That's going to make a difference with how you parent your child. Amen? Because God is most important to you. You honor him first by dealing with the sin that is in the house. Or do you actually think God will honor your household if your household does not honor God? God, I need your blessing. I need you to honor this household, but I'm not going to live the way I should. We're not going to do what we need to do. That doesn't make sense. Honoring God impacts every area of our life. And Hannah honored God because honoring God means presenting our best to the Lord. But honoring self involves keeping back the best for our pleasure. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Just the way that word sounds makes it sound like a bad thing. Sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with the flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. Look at verse 14. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. The word Belial there, if you look at that first verse we just read, it means worthless. It means worthless. Yet they were apparently ascribing a lot of worth to themselves. They were more interested in honoring themselves than God. Even though they were, God literally says there they were sons of Belial. They were worthless individuals, but they obviously thought they were worth something. And we'll get into that in here in just a second. And in fact, they ascribed so much worth to themselves that they began to keep back that which clearly belonged to the Lord. Now listen, this was a big deal. This was a huge deal. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? I mean, taking a little more food. Well, this is a bigger deal than someone at the front of the line at a church potluck taking so much food that the guy in the back of the line can't get any. Now, that's a big deal because I'm usually at the back of the line. This was a much bigger deal than that. These were people's sacrifices to God. These were people who were actually trying to honor God with their sacrifices. And these selfish sons of the priest, Eli, were taking it for themselves. That's a big deal. Now, the Bible does say, we're not going to go into the history of it, but the Bible does say that there was a certain portion of the certain sacrifices that were allowed for the priests. And that's how they were taken care of. And people were actually trying to honor God in their sacrifices, but these priests were taking extra for themselves. And there was an important portion actually dedicated for God in the sacrifice. It was an honor to the Lord. It was a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. How many of you heard those words before? This is a sweet-smelling savor. This is an honor to God. When you do this, And yet the priests knew that, the people knew that, and most of all, Eli, the priest's sons knew that, the people knew that, and Eli, the priest, knew that for sure, But these sons were saying, no, I'm just going to take what I want. And even if there was argument made to them, it implies here that even if some argument is made to them, they say, nope, I'm going to do what I want. I'm taking this. I'm doing the work. I'm doing the service. I'm taking this. God had clearly laid out the provisions for the priests, yet Hophni and Phinehas decided that God's provision for them was insufficient. They were going to rob from God what they believed was their portion as well. And they reasoned, I'm offering my whole life in service to God, therefore I can keep back that which I believe belongs to me. And that's where a lot of people get in trouble. I'm a Christian. I've been saved a long time. I've been serving in church. I'm in the ministry. I'm involved in ministry. I work so many hours a week, and yet I still get involved in ministry. Where's my portion? Where's my recognition? When am I going to get my reward? My question for you this morning is this. Are you presenting your best for the Lord, or are you hoping to keep back a reward for yourself? Are you trying to honor God, or are your decisions based on what makes you happy? And that can apply in every area of your life. Whatever decision that you make, filter your decisions by this question. Does this bring honor to God? Can I honor God in this situation? Can I honor God when I watch that? Can I honor God when I wear that? Can I honor God when I hang out with these people? Can I honor God when I go to this place? Is what I'm doing honoring to God? Oh, come on. Many of us, if you're a smart husband or you're a smart wife, especially the husbands, many of the decisions you make, you want to make thinking, is what's my wife going to think about this? And you have a wrong attitude. Think, I don't care what she thinks. I'm the man of the house. I'm going to do what I want. That's where the Bible implies submitting yourselves one to another. In honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. And yet for us to have this flippant attitude and thumb our nose at God and saying, it's my life, I'll do what I want with it. No, it's not your life. God created you, remember? And he's allowing you to breathe, remember? And he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. So you're his by virtue of the fact that he created you and he redeemed you. I'm glad God didn't keep back his best for me. Even if God gave me 90% of his best, it wouldn't be enough to get me that. God had to give his best. His son, Jesus Christ. It would have been easier not to humble himself. It would have been easier to not put on flesh. It would have been easier to not be rejected and beaten and put on the cross. But Christ wasn't looking to do what's easiest. He was looking to do what honors God. And in doing so, he provided opportunity to all those who believe in him, all those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. And you're doing God a dishonor, listen to me this morning, by not giving God your faith. By not putting your trust in God. You're doing God a dishonor by thinking, if I'm good enough, I'm going to get to heaven. If I work hard enough, I'll make it to heaven. If I do this, I'll get there. No, you won't. No. By grace, you're saved through what? Faith. Not of what? Works. Lest any man should boast. You're doing God a dishonor by saying what you did isn't enough. I need to add to that in order to get salvation. I need to add to your work on Calvary's cross in order to keep my salvation. You're not sufficient. Oh, he's sufficient. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved. It's not on us. Not on us at all. Honoring God means presenting ourselves, Christian, before the Lord. Honoring self means exactly that, self. How's that working out for you, by the way, putting yourself first? How's things been going? Neglecting God. How's that been going for you? Just being a casual Christian. Just kind of honoring God when it's convenient for you, but, you know, when there's time, I'm gonna think about God. I'm going to honor Him. It's not been working out so well, has it? Oh, I'm doing okay. Doing okay. Oh, that's how I want to live. I want to live okay. Jesus Christ came that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. There's nothing better. We're all sinners, and I've not arrived, and nobody else here has arrived. But there's nothing greater than being right smack dab in the center of God's will. It doesn't mean that life's a bed of roses and there's going to be no trials, and there's going to be no situations, and there's going to be no obstacles or no difficulties. Oh no, they're going to be there, sure, but if I'm living a life that's honoring to God, I've got on my side as I'm facing the situations in my life, rather than facing the situations that are a result of not honoring God. In other words, you're facing situations with God, or you're facing situations against God. Which one would you rather be in? Honoring God means presenting your best before the Lord, and honoring self means keeping the best for yourself. Number two, honoring God means that I must keep Him as the one that I please. I must keep Him as the one that I please. Look at 1 Samuel 1:28, at the last part. And he worshiped the Lord there. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 11. The last part. And the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Samuel's focus was continually and entirely on God. Can it be said of you, and she worshiped the Lord, or and he worshiped the Lord, or she ministered the Lord, or he ministered the Lord? Can it be said of you, if that would be your epitaph on your tombstone, would that be a part of it? He honored God. She served God. He was a man of God. She cared about God. She loved God. He thought it was important to honor God as a husband, as a dad, as a parent, as an individual, as a church member. He honored God with his life. That's what it says about Samuel. Not in those exact words, but yeah, he honored God. And you'll find out later, he is the one that honors God. But his focus was continually and entirely on God. He was consumed with God. Things he did, he thought about God. Places he went, he thought about God. God wants you to have fun, Christian. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to enjoy yourself. But God wants you to honor him in your fun. Now you're meddling. No, God is. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. So, if honoring God means that I keep him as the one I please, then honoring self means I will keep self as the one I please. Certainly Eli's sons were focused on themselves. With a closer look, we see that in reality, Eli's focus on his children was, in essence, a focus on himself too. Eli, we find out, if you read the whole story, which we're not going to do, you find out that Eli was a very large man. How did he get so large? Well, while he may have been given some verbal correction to his son's sin, and he did give some verbal correction, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:29, look at this, 1 Samuel 2:29, he said to his sons, after a prophet came to correct the high priest, a prophet came, talked to the high priest, talked to Eli, listen to what Eli said. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering? Go get him, Dad. Which I have commanded in my habitation. Or, I'm sorry, the prophet says, this is where the prophet's speaking. He says, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. The prophet says to him, listen, you're just as guilty. You're making yourself fat with the offering. You're partaking of this yourself. Even though Eli had given a little verbal slap on the hand to his sons and said, don't do this, we find out that Eli was actually involving himself in it as well. Sometimes we justify our sin by reasoning our sin, by saying things like this. Well, I like it. It makes me feel good. Well, I like listening to that. Or I really love him. Or it's my favorite show. Or this is something we've always done. Or other cop-outs that we use to justify ourselves. When in reality, the problem is this. The problem is that we don't really have a desire to honor God. At least our desire to honor God isn't greater than our desire to honor self. At the very root of every reason we come up with as to why what we're doing is okay or what we're not doing is that we should be doing is okay, what we did was wrong or didn't do was right, is that in that moment, we didn't think or consider, does this bring honor to God? Because that's the question we need to answer. Does it honor God? Does this decision bring honor to God? What decision would best bring honor to God? Sometimes it's hard to decide, what do I do here? Should I do this or should I do this? Well, which would bring the most glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ? What would best benefit the cause of Christ? Does it honor God that I watch this? So I'm not even naming specific things. I'm not the pastor that says, watch this and don't watch this, and watch this and don't watch this, or wear this and don't wear this, or do that and don't do that. I know some will do that, but I find even though they may be right in certain situations, they're not effective, because the heart of the problem is in the heart. And that is this, do I want to honor God or not? Because when I can answer that question, this honors God, then that makes the decision for me. And this does not honor God, then that makes the decision for me. I have no options. It's not a matter of holier than thou or not holier than thou. I'm a wicked sinner, and I'm very susceptible to falling into temptations just like everybody else. But if honoring God is my priority, my focus, my goal, then that's going to help me with my struggles and the decisions I make and how I raise my family. And what I wear and what I say and where I go and what I do and what I look like and all these things. Honor God with your life. Honor God in 2024. Put him first in your family, in your marriage, at your workplace, at school. Does this honor God? Does it honor God that I'm not faithful? Does it honor God that I don't tell him or I don't tell her about Christ? Does it honor God that I'm thinking those negative thoughts about the pastor right now? Answering the question, does it honor God, is the beginning of a life then that is honored by God. Answering the question, does this honor God, is the beginning of God honoring you. Well, that would be a blessing. Amen? That would be a blessing. Honoring self means I keep self as the one I please. Honoring God means I keep God as the one that I please. And third and last, honoring God involves an acceptance of life's challenges. Look at 1 Samuel 3:18. And Samuel told him every whit, hid nothing from him. What did he tell him? Well, when he finally had this conversation with God as a kid, God told him what he wanted him to tell Eli. And it wasn't good news. Eli, this is not good news. You're wicked. God's going to judge you. That sums it up. And the Bible says, now that'd be hard to tell somebody who raised you. The Bible says that he told him everything. He hid nothing back. It wasn't out of resentment. It wasn't out of, I'm going to get mine. He just wanted to honor God. And when you want to honor God, you're going to do the hard things. When you want to honor God, you're going to do the things you don't really want to do. You're going to do the difficult things. And Eli's response was, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Samuel was far more concerned with honoring God than honoring man. And sometimes what seems to be the hard thing is the right thing. Because the right thing is always going to honor God. Honoring God involves an acceptance of life's challenges. And I just mentioned ago, Christian, you're going to face some challenges, aren't you? Some of you are in them right now. You're going to face some challenges. Do you want to honor God in your challenge? You want God to accomplish his purpose and his plan and his will? You want God to work all things out for good to them that, what? To them that love God, that would be the person who wants to honor God, right? That's kind of the prerequisite. All things do work out together for good to them that love God or honor God. Challenges with God on your side because you've chosen to honor God, or challenges that are given to you by God because you chose not to honor God, it's not rocket science. I'd much rather face challenges with God's help than face the challenge of opposing God. And honoring God is an acceptance of life's challenges. But the adverse to that is this. Honoring self may give lip service to obeying God, but that is all. And plainly put, Eli gave lip service to God's instruction, but did not give real service. Look at 1 Samuel 2, verse 22, please. 1 Samuel 2, verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they... Look at this. Lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle congregation. Went far beyond stealing meat from the sacrifice. They were wicked. They were wicked. And here's what Eli said to them. Why do ye such things? Verse 23. For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. And that's the end of it. And look at chapter 3, verse 13. For I have told him, this is what the Lord said about Eli. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he, Eli, restrained them not. So Eli spoke to his sons about their sin, but obviously he did nothing else about it. Otherwise, God wouldn't have said that. God doesn't lie. Okay? And he honored them then above God because he didn't do the work of restraining them. We can see that there's a difference in what life looks like when we honor God rather than ourselves. But what does honor really mean? In Scripture, the word honor is used as a noun and as a verb. The Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 1, if you might want to jot this down, Psalm 66, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Verse 2 says, sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Here the word communicates the idea of something tangible placed upon a person. It is something that you can possess. It means that they possess glory and dignity and reverence and abundance. Honor, then, can actually be something that is placed upon you and then is possessed. In other words, God can actually give you honor. But our view today is to look at its verb form. When we come to our text in 1 Samuel 2:30, we find that honor is a verb. Stay with me now. We're almost done. This is important. It's a verb. In other words, it's a word that requires action. To honor God means it's going to require action. It's not just some tangible thing that you have and that you hold. It requires action to do something. My son Levi, when he was learning how to ride a bike when he was younger in Arkansas, I have a video of him, and he actually didn't have a bike that fit him. He grew out of his bike, and so he was using one of his sister's bike and made him feel manly. But he's on his bike, and he's learning, and he's trying to get it down. So I got my phone out and started recording it, and I'm holding him still, and I've been giving him a little push so he can get going and pedal. And so I said, on your marks, get set. Of course, I'm going to say go, right? So whatever he does, on your marks, set, go. Well, on the video, I say, on your marks, get set. He goes, action. That means let's go. Let's act. Let's do something. The word honor here, the verb, there's an action to it. And so when we come to our text here, it requires action on the part of the doer, the one attempting to honor. Do you honor God? Well, we say, yeah, honor God. Do you honor God? Like do, doing, done. The word honor actually means this, by definition. To give weight or worth to. Do you give weight or worth to God? Making weighty those things God says are important. How many of you men have gotten something for your wife because it's what you wanted? Like a new truck because you know she thinks you look good in it? Something like that. Thereby making her happy. Even so, much of our lives, much of our worship today exists because it's how we want to come before God. A lot of churches worship God because they've decided that's how God's honored. They've decided because it makes me feel good, it must honor God. It makes me feel emotional. It's cool. All the lights. It's amazing. It's fun. It's crowd pleasing. So it must honor God. It has to. Or in our lives, we see something and we say, this is how it makes me feel. So I'm going to do it. I like this entertainment. So I'm going to allow it. I think this is the best way to raise my children. So it's what I'm going to superimpose over my Christianity. I think a church should be like this. So I'm going to attend that kind of church. All too often, it's what I think that keeps us actually from honoring God. And we try to explain our reasoning with phrases like, that's not really important to us, or to me, I'm sure that may work out for good, but I don't really believe that. And by believe, we really mean accept, thereby rejecting it. But remember, the word honor means to give weight to. It communicates the idea that whatever God says is weighty. Whatever God says matters. Whatever God says matters. I give weight to the word. I'm honoring God by obeying his word. There's a commercial back in the 70s and 80s. One phrase was used repeatedly, and it was this. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. I mean, remember that. I remember that. I was a little kid in the 80s. The idea of honor is that when God speaks, I give his word weight. I listen. So when God speaks about my family, I listen. When God speaks about my mouth as it pertains to gossip or slander or foolishness or filthiness, I listen. When God speaks to me about how to raise my children, I listen. When God speaks about gathering with the believers at his church, I listen. When God speaks about possessions and what I'm to do with them, I listen. When God speaks to me about soul winning or modesty or marriage or giving, I listen. And as I listen, I respond. Because what it comes down to is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Stand with me if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. We're going to read this out loud again. I'm going to read the first part. You pick it up where it says, for them that honor me. All right? Verse 30 says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. This is a sad transition right here. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. Ready? For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Because Samuel valued the wisdom, ways, and the very word of God, God honored Samuel. Samuel let none of God's words get by. He caught them. Look at what God did for Samuel. Look at verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19. It says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words, let none of God's words, fall to the ground. He took them seriously. That's where you begin honoring God, by taking him seriously. Answer the question, does this honor God? Well, I don't know. This is a great place to find out. Right. God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the examples of the word of God. May it be our heart's desire to honor you. May we commit even now, your help. As dads, as moms, husbands, wives, we're going to honor you. The teenagers commit even now to strive to honor you. As a church family, may we commit to honor you as a church. Maybe somebody doesn't know Christ as their Savior. They need to begin with that, knowing for sure heaven is our home. I pray you'd help us respond in Jesus' name.